Hey there, it's Tom Ryan, founder and CEO of ICR. Before we get into the next episode, I wanted to ask that you subscribe to the show. It'll help us get even more unique and interesting guests on the podcast, and in turn, continue to educate management teams and the growing ecosystem that creates value for fast-growing private and public companies. And while you're at it, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating. Very much appreciated. This episode is brought to you by IEQ Capital, an investment advisory firm that provides a premier endowment-style investment approach and family office services to eligible clients tailored to the unique needs of your family. The founding team behind IEQ Capital are entrepreneurs at heart with an uncompromising focus on clients and investment excellence. With over 30 years' experience as investors, they have a broad understanding of each asset class, deep institutional relationships, and a network that provides assets to exclusive private investment opportunities. Visit www.ieqcapital.com to learn more.
While neither Tom Ryan nor the show receives fees from IEQ Capital in connection with the sponsorship, nor is Tom a client of IEQ Capital, ICR must note the potential conflict of interest in recommending IEQ Capital in light of our potential for a future business relationship. All statements in this episode express the speaker's respected personal views and do not reflect the opinions or review of IEQ Capital.
I realized very quickly that this was a great opportunity, a growth opportunity, a company that is kind of a hidden diamond.
The potential of a company can often be measured by its commitment to innovation, but its strength can also lie in its structural flexibility.
I do feel almost like it's my company, so very short decision lines, I'm involved in everything. It's really an environment for us to change the world as well.
Being a public company can be hard. Small missteps can have outsized consequences. I'm Tom Ryan, founder and CEO of ICR, and over the last 25 years, we've helped thousands of companies understand and navigate the stock market and the media. We'll demystify these and other increasingly complex stakeholder groups so you can focus on what you do best, building your company and unlocking your true potential. This is Welcome to the Arena from ICR. There are some extraordinary opportunities for companies with the vision and commitment to get behind the energy transition, and today's guest works for one of them. We're sitting down with David Bandel, who served as the CFO of Hexagon Composites since 2014. The company is headquartered in Norway and trades under the symbol HEX.OL. Their business is focused on carbon-negative, zero-emission energy solutions supported by world-class manufacturing and digitization. Prior to joining Hexagon, David held several senior positions in the field of finance and controlling with the Aker Group of Companies, GE Healthcare, and Amersham PLC. He holds a Bachelor of Economics from the University of Sheffield and is an ICAEW Chartered Accountant. Let's enter the arena with David Bandel.
Hexagon, we're an enabler of alternative fuels, so we help drive the energy transition, you can say. And how we do that is by partnering companies who wish to decarbonize. Now that's kind of more set in stone with the 2050 targets. And we do that through providing the ability to run heavy-duty vehicles on natural gas and renewable natural gas, as well as distribute renewable natural gas and get it to places where it can be used. And when you're talking about renewable natural gas, you're looking at potential negative carbon footprint. So it's very much a fast-track accelerator to decarbonization. So Hexagon Composites, it's our core technology is basically the energy storage side of things. So we would provide a fuel system for the whole vehicle, for example, and the core to the fuel system are these composite pressure vessels, not steel. Why not steel? Because weight matters with mobility and certainly transportation. So that's our core technology.
So who are your customers and where do you do business around the world? I know it's a global operation.
So we sell to over 100 countries around the world. But in terms of our footprint, our manufacturing and our key core markets, I would say they're still North America and Europe. In North America, we have around about 70% of revenues, and Europe then around about 30% of our revenues are generated from European footprint.
Yeah. It's such an interesting company doing important things. Tell us maybe a little bit more about your background in your own words and how the Hexagon opportunity came to you.
Well, firstly, I'm a father of two, and I've lived in three different countries. So Nigeria, in the UK, and also Norway. I've been in Norway 20 years. I found Hexagon, and I realized very quickly that this was a great opportunity, a growth opportunity, a company that is kind of a hidden diamond, if I could say. It's a very key enabler in the energy transition, but obviously a smaller company than normal. Why I like the company and the role as chief financial officer is that I do feel almost like it's my company. So very short decision lines. I'm involved in everything. It's really an environment for us to change the world as well.
Yeah. If you're in these big conglomerates, sometimes the bureaucracy can be a little bit stifling, and it's so important for business to be nimble, be able to move fast, to make decisions, particularly when you're at the forefront of a transition that's accelerating, going faster and faster every day, right?
Totally agree. And in fact, our biggest business area is called Hexagon Agility. And that's a great word that you describe.
Yeah, there you go. You mentioned natural gas and renewable natural gas. For people who don't understand this, can you explain it to us like we were in elementary school?
Well, natural gas is typically used for fossil source, so when you extract that from the earth. And of course, the massive improvement to US's energy security, right, with the shale gas revolution, for example. And natural gas is still a lower carbon fuel than diesel. It does reduce CO2 emissions somewhat, and it also really reduces nitrogen oxide, so NOx, and also particulate matter. So it's still a very important energy source. When it comes to renewable natural gas, as the name suggests, it's from renewable sources, but you can say it's really from biomatter, right? Waste, landfill, manure, agricultural sources. And it's basically the same molecule. It's still methane, CH4, but this time it just comes from things that are rotting, you can say, trapped, cleaned up, and compressed and distributed to where it can be used. So one is greener than the other.
You obviously have a number one position enabling the energy transition to cleaner fuels. And as I was kind of researching before this conversation, I saw that you all enabled the avoidance of 1.5 million metric tons of CO2 equivalents, which is like taking 300,000 automobiles off the road. I mean, that's like a staggering number. And to be able to do that is an incredible feat.
It's really quite significant, obviously, thanks to our customers who are really pushing, particularly the fleets, right? The fleets are really pushing the decarbonization agenda. But of course, with the fleets and OEMs, they're not doing it out of charity. It's also a lower operating fuel. So at the end of the day, yep, you can get better economics for your business, but also hit the decarbonization agenda. Absolutely.
Great. You mentioned Hexagon Agility, and you've been experiencing a lot of growth. You're executing at a high level. So maybe take us through the key verticals of the company.
Sure. So as you mentioned, Hexagon Agility is by far the largest. So by revenues, it's 83% of what is consolidated group revenue. And Hexagon Agility is distribution of gas. So through what we call mobile pipelines. So where you don't need fixed pipelines, you can carry large amounts of gas over the road in our containers. And it allows us to, these modules allow you to transport about 250% times what you would do if it was a steel module container. And then on the mobility side, they do all sorts of heavy-duty trucks, transit buses, refuse trucks. Some of our customers are like waste management, for example. Some are UPS, or it could be a Daimler truck, like Freightliner brand, OEMs, etc. So that's Hexagon Agility. It's heavy-duty trucking, and it's also a distribution of gas. When we go over to a next vertical in size, it's called Hexagon Ragasco. So this is about 13% of revenues. Hexagon Ragasco is using our same composite technology, but for LPG cylinders. So just take your normal barbecue cylinder. You're used to that in the US being steel. We actually have a composite version. It's much lighter. You can see your gas level there, and it's much safer if it's involved in a fire incident. Why? Because a faulty steel LPG cylinder will be like an incendiary device, which is never pleasant. Whilst our composite version, you'll get fire, but it'll melt down, so you won't get the IED effect, put it that way. So and with Ragasco, it's more or less selling to distributors, and that's the vertical that we have over 100 different countries in sales. on the last vertical is called Hexagon Digital Wave. This is an interesting company. It's very much software driven. We have proprietary technology called modal acoustic emissions. This technology allows you to listen to the structural integrity of these composite tanks and determine very accurately what is the lifetime of this, what's the health of those tanks under pressure, which is very important. And over time, we will see continuous monitoring, whereas at the moment, it's deriving revenues from the DOT requirements to inspect those mobile pipeline trailers every 5 years. But we will shrink this technology down, we'll make it factory installed, and it will be available sort of in any mobility platform going forward. This is unique and gives us a competitive advantage. So with those three verticals are actually integrated, but we have a spin-off company, which we now currently own 38% of. It's called Hexagon Purus. So it's its own listed company. It's heritage Hexagon. So I remember being part of drawing the first P&L back in 2015. And since then, it's gone from around about $18 million in sales in 2020 to it just closed now at around about $135 million or so for the year. So tremendous growth through to 2023. They deal with the same types of things, but for hydrogen. So hydrogen distribution trailers, and also vehicles that run together with a fuel cell. So you call them FCEVs, fuel cell electric vehicles. And they do a whole raft of those. They also send certain vehicles into space. Blue Origin, for example, is one of our customers. So exciting company.
I feel like you have a lot going on over there. So back to Hexagon Agility, David, it seems to me that almost every commercial vehicle sold these days is diesel. And obviously, as that transitions, you're at the forefront of it. I know in 23, that segment of the business grew almost 25%, I think the best year ever. Maybe go a little bit deeper in your total addressable market, how you're kind of executing in that business segment.
Yeah, a very exciting segment. So Agility in total is responsible for, you know, over $400 million of revenue today. And we feel this is before major adoption. I'll break it down into some sectors. So the refuse truck sector, this is already 60% adopted for natural gas or renewable natural gas. So that's the kind of the go-to fuel. And it makes sense, right? Especially when you see the relationship to landfill and collecting landfill gas. And
totally. It's like a perfect fit.
Exactly. Perfect loop. And then you have the transit bus sector, which is about 30%. Many people see the natural gas buses, particularly in airports, right? Or Orange County municipality transport often has natural gas as part of that. These are return to base operations, and so it's been quicker to deploy the infrastructure and the adoption. So the area that's the real kicker is the freight haulage. Today, it's probably about 1, 2% penetration on natural gas or renewable natural gas. And we see a way to 6X that, or to 12% at least by 2030. Why suddenly now? And again, we're already driving really good revenues from our business. But basically, one thing's going to happen this year, and it's called the X15N. It's Cummins 15-liter natural gas engine, equal efficiency with diesel, and it allows us to increase our total addressable market by three times. So today, with the 12-liter engine, we can touch with our customers about 100,000 of the 300,000 trucks per year. We'll be able to do all of them. So not only day cab, but also sleeper cab configurations. And basically, the real kicker for why we think the natural gas adoption will go is that diesel is going to be very penalized, particularly with the 2027 EPA regulations coming in. So the difference between a natural gas truck and a diesel truck comes down significantly. And of course, the payback is even quicker. And when those two conditions meet, this inflection point, the engine should be available from around about Q3 this year.
Yeah.
In terms of revenues on our books. And that will really then kick off demand through the decade. The other side, as I mentioned, is the regulatory pressure. So both EPA forcing the OEMs to have low carbon options, but also then the fleets just wanting to decarbonize for their corporate sustainability. So exciting times.
Yeah. And it's just math, right? I mean, when you talk about this payback, when you think about like long haul, high payload class 8 fleets, it just seems that it's a very simple sale because, you know, you're kind of going in with an incredible efficiency and ROI argument. And to boot, it's great for the environment.
Exactly. So, you know, often a lot of these fleets use 15 to 20,000 gallons per year. And then if the fuel spread is anywhere between $1.50 to $2, you're paying back the additional cost of the nat gas over the diesel truck pretty quickly. Today, they're around about 2 to 4 years payback period. And of course, the initial primary vehicle lifetime is usually 4 to 7 years or 1 million miles. So it's a compelling economics, but as well as the green sustainability side.
Hexicon Agility enjoyed a record year in 2023, and its mobile pipeline is a big part of that success. I wanted to understand exactly what that product is and what it looks like.
The mobile pipeline, what it looks like is, if you were to see one of these on the road, you would typically see an ISO 40 container, a trailer, you know, with an ISO 40 or maybe 53-foot container. Within that container are a series of fuel tanks, which are our proprietary what they call Type 4 composite vessels. We have the world's largest ones in there, and they are literally quite massive. So you won't be able to see them probably from the outside, but they're carrying all this gas, and they're just being hauled by your regular semi truck. So that's what a mobile pipeline is. And what it does typically is go to an area where there's a source of gas in renewable natural gas. It tends to be these big farms or areas that are quite remotely located. Be able to capture compressed gas. They fill those trucks a bit like you would fill a barbecue grill. And then you drive those over to where they're needed. It could be a fixed pipeline. It could be direct industry. You can imagine like paper mills and those types of heavy energy intensive industries. And once you drop them off there, you can, within 10 minutes, it's plug and play. You can decant that fuel. And then while that's decanting, depending on the rate that you use, another module is being delivered ready to seamlessly ensure that you have supply of gas to your whatever it's being used for. So that's why we call it mobile. It's just used in sequence, and it just allows you not to be limited by the fixed pipeline.
In January, I know you received a pretty big order from Titan Mobile Pipeline, and I mentioned the backlog before. That's almost like a deferred revenue source, I would imagine, right? It's just building and building, and you're kind of executing against it.
Yes. And the reason for the tremendous growth, because I was there in 2015 when we did around about $22 million, and now it's $126. And the real big difference has been RNG. It really, it's the rate of the CAGR in RNG production has been around about 22% per year. And that's kind of like our CAGR as well here. So we've really been very, very impressed with Mobile Pipeline's growth, and long may it continue. Now, when you say backlog, we are pretty much got backlog that will cover 2024. So that's a great way to start the year.
Absolutely.
So it's all about producing and maybe increasing capacity along the way.
Yeah. Well, investors have to feel good about that. Moving to Hexicon Digital Wave, which is kind of the sensor business for lack of a better term. How is that complementary to the other verticals? I know the business grew like in excess of 50% in 2023.
I think every single system that uses these composite vessels, and it may be other materials as well in the future, can potentially have a continuous monitoring and health system. And then you can add other bits of digital technology, telemetry, etc., remote operations to our mobile pipelines, which we do today. So it's complementary there. And mobile pipeline, they do, according to US DOT regulations, need to be inspected every 5 years. And again, it's a very non-invasive way to inspect today. But how it's complementary is that whether it's Hexicon Purus on the hydrogen side or the Hexicon Composites or Agility on the gas side, it allows the same, you can say, monitoring of health or inspection of those units. It also allows you to extend the life. So for example, often our tanks are certified for 25 years at least on primary life. And that's going to be longer than the vehicles that they're fitted to, right?
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
So then what we can do is recover the system after that primary vehicle life and then actually certify pre-owned for the next vehicle. And we can ascertain exactly what sort of lifetime it will have and then maybe position it in a lower price market, for example. And then life extension is also good for sustainability.
I know in late 2023, you entered into a partnership with Compass Natural Gas. And then in January, I know that Digital Wave signed a long-term agreement with one of the largest distributors in the space. Maybe you can tell us about kind of some recent developments there that seem very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big fleet owners of these mobile pipelines, they obviously need to get these inspected every 5 years. So these agreements help us do that. And Digital Wave, it has two strands. Are focused on the MAE, which is directly complementary to composite material. But they also have an ultrasonic emission, so a UE side of the business, and that deals with steel tanks. So people like Linde, these are big customers. They produce steel tanks for various requirements in industrial gases, etc. And they also need to have these either inspected or quality controlled on the production line. So we also provide machine equipment, UE equipment that deals with that. And that's the other revenue stream from Digital Wave today.
Moving over to your investment in Purus, where you own 38%, you referenced that. I know that that investment, you kind of did it in the middle of 2023. Is that more in the investment phase? Is it transitioning? How is that company being set up right now in 2024 to kind of harvest what they're doing in the outlying years?
Yes, it's a complete standalone, has its own corporate governance, as I mentioned. It's a listed company. And what's great, it has the folks that we know and love and I've worked with for many years in the Hexagon Group. So it will continue to be an important part for us in terms of today, we still benefit from, you know, common R&D. I still benefit from leverage of the key component, carbon fiber, which is an expensive component. And next to Boeing and Airbus, we are the biggest direct purchasers of that. So that's also a key synergy. And of course, route to market. You know, we have customers that are very often the same, like UPS, for example. We had to spin it off in 2020 because the growth rate for hydrogen and so-called zero emissions technology was just staggering and clearly too large for the Hexagon Composites balance sheet. So it needed its own, you know, financial independence and being able to tap the equity markets, etc. Since then, as I mentioned, it's delivered to a business plan, which is great. But it is in a different phase, right? It's loss-making and should be EBITDA positive within 2025, which is not too long now. But from our perspective, we'll just continue to be a significant holder, non-controlling interest.
And then Ragasco, you mentioned earlier, what's happening there? What can you tell our listeners about that division and kind of the outlook over the next 3 to 5 years?
So we love Hexagon Ragasco division. You know, it's often contra-cycle as well, which is useful. It has the highest margins of the verticals in the business. So I would say 2023 was a low year. It didn't grow its top line, but still 17% EBITDA margin. So it's got to be congratulated for that. It's also a home of our manufacturing excellence. That's where we see world-class manufacturing at its highest. So it's something that works very well within the group, but it's quite autonomous. It's quite separate. You're talking about LPG, lower pressure, much smaller units, and a business model that is more kind of almost B2B in a way. I mean, we sell to marketeers, but it's that basic. It's probably the most familiar product to consumers in our portfolio, of course. We put it into strategic review end of last year, not because we don't like it. As I mentioned, it is a cash cow, but it is a standalone business. And we wanted to just really ascertain, are we the right owners for this? Because we have focused our capital allocation for the last 5 years heavily in Purus and heavily in Hexagon Agility and not so much in Ragasco. It needs capital to move the growth there. And we just initiated a process to see if there was a better owner. If there isn't, we will like to continue with that business as it is accretive.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's a smart thing to do. I always feel like the best companies are always self-assessing, looking in the mirror, figuring out their capital allocation plans. And you have so much going on and so much growth. It's kind of like, where do we allocate our capital to the biggest return? So I think that self-assessment speaks very highly of the entire management team that you're doing that, because a lot of companies don't really think that way. It's really about creating value for shareholders. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
The one thing I wanted to talk to you about, David, is, you know, there's obviously tremendous political support for the energy transition around the world, but a lot has gone on in North America in the last 4 years. What are your plans for North America in particular? how can you take advantage of that political support and spending with like the Inflation Reduction Act? What's kind of the footprint? How important is the market? Maybe some comments on North America.
Yeah, clearly our major market, and we have deep history that even goes back to NASA space programs, etc. So we are deeply rooted to the U.S. We're in country for country, so our major heavy-duty businesses and mobile pipeline businesses have their manufacturing footprint there, both on the cylinder side and also the assembly and systems sides. So we are located heavily in Lincoln, Nebraska, and also Salisbury, North Carolina. So we feel we're in a very good position, regardless of what type of gas is being transported. And certainly we see that the regulatory environment is quite favorable in North America, in the US, and particularly in California. So we will continue to benefit from how RNG is, you can say, is priced and accredited for its green credentials, and long may that continue. Otherwise, it's a very economic business case as well, with a cheaper operating fuel. So we have the footprint, we have our market and our customers there, and we'll continue to be as intimate to the North American market as we can.
You have so much going on. You're so embedded in science and engineering. I have to think one of your competitive advantages is your commitment to R&D and innovation. How will that drive growth in the business generally across all these different segments? And maybe talk about that commitment to innovation and what it's been able to produce for shareholders over the long run.
Yeah, often it's silent, the sort of the continual innovation that goes on in the background. So first of all, I'll say at the tank level, that's just been a passion for, you know, individuals in our business, and certainly for everybody else that can play a role. At the end of the day, how can we make that cylinder, which has some very expensive material, in a way that is even more cost competitive with steel? Not that we need to be, but how do we do that? Yeah. We are, at the end of the day, as you said, diesel trucks are the incumbent technology. We are trying to displace that, and we want to make also price to be not an unattractive factor when people are making those decisions regardless. This has been going on for years. So how can we use less of that material for each tank that we do? How can we make the tanks shape the way we wind them more efficient? But what has been really our secret sauce is our ability to run this process, the manufacturing process per se. It's the speed that we can do a tank, which has to, like I said, has a 25-year lifetime. It goes through tremendous numbers of cycles of pressure, and it's got to have zero defects for that time. That we don't take as a joke. So we're clearly the quality leader there, and we will continue to focus on that. That's not revolutionary. That's just evolves little by little. On the real, more revolutionary stuff, I think we will soon talk a little bit more about what Digital Wave can do. I think that's a real displacer. And also on digital technology for your lowly LPG cylinder, we have now made them smart. We have had our first serial contract for those with a distributor up here in the Nordics. And you have the ability then, you as a consumer, you can connect that to your phone, and you can always have a program to assess your level of your gas, etc., and make sure you don't run out. But more critically, what this opens up is for the distributor to ensure that the LPG is where the demand is at any place in time. So that's what's very interesting for distributors. So we've been able to make our LPG cylinder smart and connected. And that's an example of the agility and the innovation from a digital side that we do.
Yeah, it drives everything. As CFO of the company, I can't let this interview end before asking a financial question. What does success look like over the next 3 to 5 years? What financial targets have you kind of put out there that you're comfortable talking about? I know the business is growing, and congratulations on that. But how do you see success from your seat over the next few years?
In January 21, we set our 2025 targets, which look like we're on track to meet. It's simply $600 million in revenue, 15% EBITDA margin at a NIBD to LTM EBITDA of 3x leverage, or under 3x. So we see that as very achievable, particularly with the Cummins engine launch, which will really scale up then significantly also in 2025. And then thereafter, 2025, It's not easy, but we feel it's very achievable to continue our 15% top line growth, and probably we'll keep EBITDA margin where it is and rather go for more adoption, right? Lower prices, be more aggressive on that side. So that's the way we see it. And success would be that by 2030, we show charts of having at least 12% adoption, and it's 2% today in the long haul freight. If it's at 12%, it will be very, 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 very good. And obviously, then we will be a multi-billion dollar company. That will be satisfactory.
Hexagon Composites is in a great position. They're at the forefront of the energy transition. They have a strong track record for quality. They're a vertically integrated manufacturer and system solution provider. And even better than that, they are incredibly innovative. At Welcome to the Arena from ICR, we're working really hard to bring you exciting guests and great content. If you found this episode insightful, please subscribe to the show on your podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. The more the show grows, the more interesting voices we can have on the podcast, and in turn, that should demystify a lot of the stakeholders around public companies and soon-to-be public companies. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank David Bandel for joining me today. Hexagon's commitment to R&D has led to the largest product portfolio in the industry and numerous patents as well. They are executing at a very high level, and the results are proving that again and again. We look forward to seeing how much more growth they have in the future and how they participate in the energy transition. This is Tom Ryan. We'll see you next time back in the arena.
References to specific stocks are not intended to be recommendations for specific trading behavior. Comments presented on this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only, and do not represent opinions or recommendations on whether to buy, sell, or hold shares of a particular stock. All investors are advised to conduct their own independent research into individual stocks before making a trading decision. In addition, investors are advised that past stock performance is no guarantee of future price performance.
This episode is brought to you by IEQ Capital, an investment advisory firm that provides a premier endowment-style investment approach and family office services to eligible clients tailored to the unique needs of your family. The founding team behind IEQ Capital are entrepreneurs at heart with an uncompromising focus on clients and investment excellence. With over 30 years' experience as investors, they have a broad understanding of each asset class, deep institutional relationships, and a network that provides assets to exclusive private investment opportunities. Visit www.ieqcapital.com to learn more.
While neither Tom Ryan nor the show receives fees from IEQ Capital in connection with the sponsorship, nor is Tom a client of IEQ Capital, ICR must note the potential conflict of interest in recommending IEQ Capital in light of our potential for a future business relationship. All statements in this episode express the speaker's respected personal views and do not reflect the opinions or review of IEQ Capital.